Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Good Always morning. Great to be here.
Hey, Fred, before we jump into the news of the day, there's been a shooting in South Haven, Mississippi at a Walmart.
At a Walmart, yeah. Don't have much more in the way of details on it right at this moment. But as we know, Walmarts are open. A lot of Walmarts are open 24 hours a day now. And this occurred apparently very early this morning. So that's something we have to be watching for. It's just too many of these incidents.
Yeah, I was told that this involved an employee-employer situation.
Right.
It wasn't random. Mm. So do you know anything about this, Ed?
I just heard this morning during devotion someone had mentioned. Well, I think it was Fred and Steve Jordahl were telling me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we'll keep our eye on that story.
Yes.
We want to tell everybody that we've got a big debate tonight, don't we, Fred?
The eyes of the nation.
How'd you guys know my wife and I were debating over where we were going to have dinner tonight?
That's right.
We did not know that.
Different
but
debate.
Are you?
Different debate.
Okay, yeah. Hold on just a second. You're the one who started this.
That's right.
I got to ask you, if Diane and you were to have a friendly family discussion / debate about where to eat dinner tonight, What were the options? What would the discussion go like?
Well, I was just making a joke because we're eating at the house, but
oh
yeah, I was making a
but
joke.
Are you Mexican food people, or are you more Italian?
Here's the way our discussions not just sometimes go, always go.
I know what you're going to say because it happens to the rest of us men too.
I say, sweetie, where do you want to go?
Right.
It doesn't matter. Wherever you want to go.
Right.
All right. Well, how about X?
I know.
No, I don't feel like that. Okay, well, how about Mexican?
Right.
No, we had Mexican last week. I don't feel like that. Okay, well, where do you want to go eat? It doesn't matter to me. Wherever you want to go.
No, I know. Same thing.
I see. We're about to birth the first AFR reality show. Life with the Vitaglianos.
Yes, one of those not really reality shows.
I don't know why it goes like that. Alice and I are the very same way, and we eat out quite a bit, but I just, you know, she'll say, you pick, and then, I'll go down my top three, and she goes, why am I doing this? This is a futile exercise.
That's exactly.
Why don't you just tell me where you want to eat, and I'll adapt.
No, it really doesn't matter to me. That's what I get. Right. I say, well, why don't you just tell me? No, you pick.
Now, every once in a while, when there's a little mean spirit rise up in me, I will intentionally pick somewhere where I know she will say,
What
are you thinking? Why do you even bring that up?
Swedish meatballs. Well, you said it didn't matter.
Well, you said it didn't matter. All right. Now, a lot going on in our country, including a big debate tonight over those on the Democrat side.
Yeah, this is the B team tonight.
We want the B team?
Kind of the B team.
Okay.
As most people
know, they're trying to break into the to the varsity squad, right?
Yeah. So this is the kind of what they call the warm up. They've got, 26 people, I think, on the list right now. Now, six of them aren't even going to make it to the warm-up. They don't have the numbers in the polling.
Who are they? One or two of them?
I don't think anybody knows who they are, but they just decided they would.
There's
run.
A reason they don't have any supporters.
Who?
We don't even know who they are.
When you mentioned their name, who's that?
Yeah, like Swalwell, the one who who jumped in and then
jumped out.
Jumped out, yeah.
Put a right foot in, took the right foot out.
But no, left.
Ed, I'm left. Trying to bring this program up.
I know.
And
just whatever you want.
Okay.
Tim.
Okay.
Whatever you want us to do.
Tonight, what we'll see in tonight's version of the debate, I guess the two highlighters will be Bernie Sanders.
Bernie.
And Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth, I want to be a Cherokee Warren.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, here's the problem.
Yeah, you're trying to bring this back. Yeah, I see.
Here's the problem for those two. They kind of, whatever Elizabeth likes, so does Bernie. And whatever Bernie likes, so does Elizabeth. So they say the challenge for tonight is really they got to come up with something they disagree on.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no debate.
Yeah, it could be restaurants. I'm not sure. But anyway, Karl Rove with his little chalkboard.
Yeah,
he was on Fox and Friends this morning and giving his assessment of what tonight might look like. Cut number 8.
Well, look, we're going to be focused on the ones that we know, which are going to be Warren and Sanders. But this is a critical night for a couple of other candidates, the lesser knowns. Pete Buttigieg is going to be on the stage. He's been trying to nudge into the top four. He's number 5 in the national polling. So he's got to find some way to start get some movement, particularly he's doing poorly in the African-American community. The second one I'm going to be watching tonight is Robert Francis O'Rourke. The big mo that he had at the beginning of this campaign has dissipated. He's running out of airspeed and altitude. And then finally, Amy Klobuchar, who is the most prominent sort of traditional moderate Democrat, moderately liberal Democrat, who's going to be on the stage tonight. And she's down there at the 1% level. And the question is she going to get some momentum out of tonight, or she may not qualify either?
So there you have it, Karl Rove. Now, he's pretty good. Sometimes you like him, sometimes you don't. But he's pretty good at this. He's been at this for a long time.
Right.
But, you know, I started looking at some polls that were done, about 6-7 different polls in the last week or so. And now Cory Booker is not on the team tonight. They're saving him for tomorrow night. In an Emerson poll that was done actually right up until yesterday, he came in at
0% support.
Cory Booker.
Now Corey Spartacus.
Spartacus, yes. Booker.
I am Spartacus.
Yeah. That's got to be really discouraging when you come up and the poll has a big fat 0.
Yeah, well, you got to do better than that.
That's technically it's probably like under 0.5%. So you round up if you're 5% and up and you go to 1%.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's got surely he's got family members that support him. He can't be completely at 0. But he's probably under a 0.5%. I, by the way, I like what Sandy said this morning on Sandy Rios in the Morning. She said, "Oh, Beto O'Rourke and Elizabeth Warren, a fake Mexican and a fake Indian." Great line. Just a great. Because Robert, he goes Beto. By Beto as if he's Hispanic.
What's his name? Beto O'Rourke?
Beto O'Rourke.
Beto.
Oh, Beto.
Beto, tear down those walls, O'Rourke.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, like I said, Cory Booker's tomorrow night, and he's got to do something tomorrow night or it's finished.
But you know what? That kind of thing doesn't work. You know, these people like Amy Klobuchar and stuff, they have their positions. If you do something to try to get yourself in the public eye, a lot of times it comes out as desperate. It backfires.
Yep.
You know, these are people who just don't have enough name recognition. There's nothing unique about them, and they're just going to get lost in the herd.
What if one of them just start these no names or these people that people aren't from? You know what I would do? I know this is gimmicky. I think if I'm Amy, what's her name?
Klobuchar.
I would start juggling during the debate. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Three balls. I start with three.
Yeah.
I start with three, and then I go to four and maybe a fifth. You don't tell me the camera wouldn't stay on her.
No, the camera didn't stay on her, all right.
And she would always be known. Her name recognition would what? Shoot through the what?
That is true.
I'm just saying it's a gimmicky, but sometimes you need a gimmick.
And what you could say is, see, folks, some people up here can walk and chew gum at the same time.
There you go.
But I can debate and juggle at the same time.
How about it? Hey, there's some new rule changes based on the experience.
Well, there were rules to begin with?
Well, They're putting some rules in place.
By the way, excuse me, Fred. Yeah. This is tonight.
Well, there's one tonight, one tomorrow.
One tomorrow. Okay, they're doing the 2-tier.
They got to break
them up. And this is again. Where are they having this?
In Michigan.
In Michigan. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but one of the new rules is no questions where everybody has to raise their hands.
Yes. I'm not surprised at this.
That turned out to be a little awkward.
Because that you keep doing that through all the debates, that's just going to wind up in Trump campaign ads.
Who wants more lemonade? Yeah. They all raise their hands. I mean, that's what it seemed like last time.
Who loves Karl Marx? They all raise their hands.
It's kind of awkward.
Yes.
What was the Joe Biden? What did he do? Where did he have? He raised half his. He raised his hand halfway up.
Was it Medicare for illegals?
Yeah,
free
health care for all illegals.
Raise your hand.
All the hands shot up, you know, and then Joe Biden's, his hand sort of went halfway up.
He wanted to be able to say, yeah, I raised my hand, but only halfway. I do have some reservations.
So none of that tonight. No. That kind of takes the fun out of it, really. Huh? So no hand raising tonight.
And no questions requiring a yes or no or a one-word answer.
Yeah, we got to get beyond the one-word answer thing.
You mean they're not allowed to?
Yeah, we really want to know your heart on these issues.
All right, so let me ask you guys this, all right? Time to be honest.
Okay.
Are you guys going to watch the debate tonight, or are you just going to watch clips tomorrow?
I'm a clip tomorrow type guy.
Yeah, I'm a highlights guy. Yeah. I watch.
There's no way I'm watching 2 hours of that garbage.
No. Although, I got to tell you, there's some entertainment value there.
But if it is, it's kind of like you're going to watch the whole baseball season?
Right.
Or are you just going to watch
highlights? Right. I do consider these, all of them you named, in my opinion, and I'm obviously very a conservative person, I think all these people are whacked, which makes them fun to watch. I got to tell you, huh?
Yeah.
When they're whacked and they got the wacky ideas to go with their.
And here's the thing. They're obviously going to be in front of fawning media people.
Yes.
They're all Don Lemon.
Don Lemon. And then they're all going to be, you know, the audience is all going to be clapping at everything. And everybody up there essentially believes the same thing. So what do they have to hide? This is where you get the real wackiness.
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I'm not a betting man. But if I were, tonight's word that I would take the over-under.
Oh, I know where you're going.
If you know what an over-under is, I know.
I don't because
In the gambling world, it would be, in the sports betting world, it would be like, are the Patriots and the
plus three,
Falcons going to score more than 30, under or over? Anyway, the point is how many times is something going to happen or not? And I'm going.
Totally confused.
Hey, okay. Before we get to Todd Sarnes, I want you to write down.
Okay.
Get your pen out. Fred, you do this too. Do you have a pen?
I don't have a pen.
Okay. Give Ed a pen.
Just toss it.
And this compliments to Bernie Sanders, by the way. Huh? He's
putting
pens for every American.
This is the word.
I just want to write your word. Write the word that's going to be used, not and or the or but the word that's going to be used most tonight in the debate.
I got it already.
Mine down.
I got it.
Okay. Well, none of us. This is. We didn't plan this, folks. So, Ed, what's your word?
Racism.
Fred, what's your word?
Trump.
That's a good one too.
I have racist.
Racist. Okay.
Racist. Racism.
Well, okay, but
if you put yours together,
yes.
If you put yours together with ours, I think you've got the top two words.
Yes.
Yep.
In the debate tonight, the only problem with that is that doesn't separate you from anybody because Bernie Sanders going to say? No. What's her name? Elizabeth Warren. I think Trump is more racist than you think he's a racist.
Yes.
Huh?
Right. Yeah.
So
I had a second also.
What was the second word?
Free.
Free?
Free Medicare, free education, free tuition, free.
I think they'll avoid the word free because they don't like the connotation. But anyway. But we'll see. Definitely racism and Trump will lead the way tonight. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, if you want to watch the show on the internet, go to Facebook or YouTube. And we also post the stories there that we discuss. And you can engage with other folks who listen to the program. And Brent Creeley, our producer, checks those sites for us and during the show. Facebook or YouTube, type in the words Today's Issues. Well, our good friend Todd Starnes is on the phone with us now from, I guess, New York City or wherever he's traveling. Todd wrote a column yesterday on the situation regarding Elijah Cummings, a representative from Maryland, and the president. and the city of Baltimore and rats and such. And he joins us now. How you doing, Todd?
Hey, Tim, doing great. Greetings from Fox News headquarters here in New York City.
New York, New York.
Can I just say something?
Please do.
I want the American people to know that you are the wokest man in Christian talk radio.
Thank you, Todd. That means a lot.
Thank you for your honesty, Todd.
That means a lot to me coming from you, a white, southern, Christian male.
Straight.
Conservative, gun-toting.
Yes. I trigger people just by waking up in the morning. So.
That's funny. You know, I got to remember that. Go ahead.
I want to say something, though, about tonight's debates, because I will be watching all the debates tonight and tomorrow.
Right.
And we do this really as a public service for our listeners and readers, so they don't have to be exposed to this. But I've got to tell you guys, it's a struggle, and I want to tell you why. I'm a longtime Southern Baptist. I'm a teetotaling Southern Baptist, so I'm not allowed to drink alcohol. So I have to watch these debates sober, and it's a difficult thing.
I don't know. Forgiveness is easier than permission.
I may have to convert to the Episcopalian faith.
That's a proverb. You know, that's a proverb right there. Hey, you wrote a column about the clash here between the president and Elijah Cummings, a representative from Maryland, and that whole thing. Talk about that.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting that you guys all correctly guessed the code word for tonight, which is racist.
Right.
That is the word that the Democrats have been using to describe not just President Trump, but his supporters. And I think it's important, and what I did in the column was go in and provide the tweets about Baltimore in context. Congressman Cummings, for a good year now, has been condemning this administration and their border policies. He has been smearing and besmirching the reputations of Border Patrol agents, and he suggested that the border detention centers are in fact concentration camps and that people are being treated very poorly there. So in that context, the president finally decided, you know what, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the president's policy? He does not attack first, but he does respond to the attacks, and when he does, he comes loaded for bear. And that's exactly what happened here. The president said, hey, wait a second. You want to go down there and criticize these, you know, the border situation. Well, what about the situation in your congressional district? And so we went through in my column, and we fact-checked every single thing the president tweeted, and we determined whether or not it was factual or not. And, guys, every single thing the president tweeted was 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, we even went after, we investigated the rat situation. According to Orkin Pest Control, Baltimore is in fact one of the top 10 rat infested cities in America.
Wow. And you're just talking about the politicians there, or are you talking about...
You put that one on T
for
well,
that's the rat, the vermin too.
Yeah. You know what? What is what President Trump has done that no other Republican would do? I dare say, is that when Representative Elijah Cummings is an African American. Okay, but nothing the president said in his criticisms about that regarding this whole situation, he injected race. The president did not obviously inject race in any of his criticisms on this. The president, he will go after anybody. He doesn't care what color they are. In fact, Abraham Hamilton III yesterday was citing the fact that the vast majority of people that President Trump has got into it with since he was president are white people, you know,
right.
So he doesn't care that he doesn't look at that when he stands up for what he feels is.
Plus, there is are right. white people living in Baltimore.
That's right.
Why assume that just because he's insulting Baltimore, that only that he's only insulting black people?
So,
lots of white people live there too.
Yes.
Well,
let me just finish my thought before I lose it, and that is this: the president doesn't take that racism charge. You know what I'm saying? He that's what I appreciate about him is that he says, no, No, you're not going to do that. You're not going to use the racist card to shut down the debate. You started this, Elijah Cummings. You called our border security agents basically terrible people and doing a horrible job. And you haven't even been down to the border, by the way. And now when I say, no, look at your own district, Mr. Congressman, look how terrible, what terrible shape that's in. Then you say, oh, you're a racist because I can't be criticized, or my opinions can't be dissected because of my skin color. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, absolutely, and this has been a long-standing issue for the Republicans, because the Democrats, when they know they've lost the argument, the first thing they do is play the race card. And time after time over history, Republicans have capitulated.
Yes.
And they have backed down when the race card is played. But this president is, like you said, Tim, is very different. This president, instead of backing away, instead of shirking, this president actually stands up and confronts the other side with when they launch these accusations. You know, one of the things we did on our radio program a couple of weeks ago, I published the Todd Starnes comprehensive list of all things racist. And we basically had our callers phone in, and we wanted to create a list of all the things that the Democrats literally believe to be racist. And these are not made up, but we have things like peanut butter and jelly, shampoo, the colors red, white, and blue, cotton, the fabric of our lives. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So instead of addressing the issues, the Democrats just, you know, they play the race card. But the fact of the matter is that since 1967, the Democrats have controlled the city of Baltimore. For more than 50 years, their policies have turned the 7th Congressional District into a dystopian wasteland. And the only people responsible for that are the lawmakers and the political ruling class of Baltimore. And guys, we have seen this play out in other major American cities. Look at Chicago, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, where they're spending upwards of $24 million a year just to clean human waste off the sidewalks.
Yeah, I don't know. We have time for the break. President Trump this morning responding to the criticism. Cut number 9.
The White House and myself have received more phone calls than I think on any other subject of people from Baltimore and other cities corruptly run by Democrats thanking me for getting involved. And they really appreciate what I'm doing, and they've let me know it. They really appreciate it. And by the way, the numbers just came out. Unemployment for African Americans is the lowest it's been, the best numbers, meaning, in the history of our country, the lowest in the history of our country. But people, of course.
So that was the president this morning. And I heard a little bit more of this. He says White House switchboard, all kinds of calls from people in Baltimore saying, you're exactly right, Mr. President. And he says billions of dollars in federal aid money have been wasted in cities like Baltimore.
Todd, where can we read your article that I'm talking about?
Sure, they can go to toddstarnes.com, and also they can pre-order my brand new book coming out next month, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation.
And where to go again? What website?
Sure, toddstarnes.com.
Starnes with an E, right?
You're woke, Tim.
Thank you, Todd.
All
appreciate
right,
it,
God.
Brother. Have a good day.
You too now.
Okay.
Bye now.
You know, it feels good to be woke. It really does. Huh? I haven't.
I wouldn't know.
You're not woke.
I'm not woke.
You can't even decide what restaurant to go to.
That's right.
For lunch and make your wife, you know.
I eat lunch at my desk here at work almost every day.
You do, with the door closed.
With the door closed.
Very antisocial lunch you have there. We'll be back in a minute.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, one of the days that we're in Israel on our March tour, we will be going to Bethlehem. Now, when we go to Bethlehem, we'll be visiting what's called the Church of the Nativity. And the Church of the Nativity is over the place where Jesus Christ was born. And so we're going to be seeing that very place and experiencing the place where Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And then later, we'll be seeing the shepherd's fields later that same day. So it's going to be a wonderful time. That's just one day in our trip to Israel. For more information on this March 12th through the 20th trip to the Holy Land, go to our website, twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. It's time to fact-check President Trump's tweet about Baltimore. That story next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
I feel great sympathy for the plight of the impoverished citizens of Maryland's 7th Congressional District. For decades, the Democrats have promised jobs, good schools, safe communities. Instead, Democrats' policies have turned their congressional district into a dystopian wasteland. And President Trump was absolutely right to call out the political ruling class in Baltimore. He said Congressman Elijah Cummings' district is a disgusting rat and rodent-infested mess. And according to Orkin Pest Control, it is. Baltimore, one of the top 10 most rat-infested cities in the nation. The BBC reports if you want to understand poverty in America, go to Baltimore, where nearly 25% of the residents live below the poverty level. The mainstream media called the president a racist, but facts are not racist. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Okay, the Democrat debate, Volume 1. Well, I guess Volume 1 was Miami. Anyway, the Volume 2, Appendix A. Mm-hmm. Is tonight. Appendix B tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If that's the way you want to put it. But the Democrats are still allowing how many total?
20. 10 tonight, 10 tomorrow.
Yeah, you can't have.
But that'll be the last of that.
You can't really. And tonight and tomorrow, the Democrats are having their debate and their debates. And you can't raise your hand. They're not going to have any raise your hand questions.
That's politically smart.
Oh, yeah. And they all agreed to that one.
Yes.
Don't put me on the spot and make me raise my hand or not.
Right.
They don't want that because, you know, that raised their hands on when they said, are you for free medical care for all people here who are undocumented? What they meant was illegal.
Yeah.
Then all the Democrats raised their hand. Yeah, free medical care for all illegal.
Who's for the destruction of the middle class? Raise your hand.
You know, the problem with the Democrats, they don't have a Donald Trump. The Democrats.
Now, Bernie Sanders was it last time around.
Right.
Yeah. But he doesn't have the same steam.
Yeah.
No, right now, Biden is ahead by just because none of these other ones excite the base of the Democrat Party very much. Because I think most traditional Democrat voters see Joe Biden as their only chance to beat Donald Trump because he's not as, I use the word, at least he doesn't, he's not as whacked out. And I don't mean that to disparage somebody's mental capabilities. All these people, while I disagree with them politically, they are smart.
Yeah,
or they wouldn't be where they are.
Right.
They're intelligent. In their mind, You know, they would score well on tests. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
But when I use the expression whacked out, I'm talking about their ideas are wacky. And so they struggle to appeal to any kind of even mainstream Democrats. You know, it was the Black Entertainment Television president.
Yes.
A Democrat, lifelong Democrat, a couple 3 weeks ago, he said, "Listen, the Democrat Party's going way too far left for me." Mm-hmm. And so we'll see what happens, but I think these debates are bad for the Democratic Party because these people, all of them, feel like they've got to go and out socialist one another.
Right.
And out social justice one another. Mm-hmm. And to stake their claim out there, you know?
Yep.
So we'll see what happens. Now, Mayor Pete, is he you know he's gay?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you're being funny because waste an opportunity to let him.
I just wanted to make sure you know that.
Yeah. At that point, he shows up with his significant other,
his husband.
Yes,
air quotes.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought he was gaining some steam there, but he's not.
He's down there. Drop back. Single digits.
Okay.
Yep.
Mayor Pete. You got to lose that tag if you want to be president, I think, right. Mayor Pete.
He already looks young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looks young.
He looks too young.
He's got an odd last name.
And then if you say Mayor Pete, that
sounds like... And nobody knows how to say...
Sounds like a character off Toy Story or something. I mean, tell me I'm wrong, right?
No, that was good. That was very funny.
Buzz Lightyear and Mayor Pete.
All right. You see, folks, it's up to me to keep this show reined in, keep the professionalism. All right, if you want to send us an email and get those jokes from Ed, he's got a lot of them. Go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Well, Sandy Rios joins us each Tuesday when she can. Sandy's host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, 7:00 Central Time each weekday morning here on AFR. Also. She is Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. Sandy, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Sandy, just looking at these debates, I know they have to have them, but I don't know who it helps. Could it help any of these people potentially?
Well, it helped Kamala Harris in the last one.
Why?
When she came down. Well, she boosted in the polls and she had a big fundraising night after she was in the last debate. So it helped her, and it also kind of eliminated some of them. I think several of them are polling less than 2%, which is the bar they have to reach in order to be included in the main debates as things narrow down here. So a lot of them are not doing that well. So that's what it's going to do. It's going to winnow more of them out, you know, by a point or a percentage point here and there.
I quite frankly think it's a little discriminatory to make people leave the debate and not have their voice heard just because they don't poll over 2% and they don't have the big money that these other candidates
have.
Yeah,
that's a very good point. And they always put the person polling the highest in the center, and then they move down as they go to the wings. And so sometimes the people, they're already behind, and then they can't be heard.
Yeah, Sandy, you're missing the fact that Tim has become a real social justice warrior here over the last say 30-35 minutes. So he is now for the little guy now.
I've been called woke. You think this is a Kamala Harris versus this is going to come down to Kamala Harris, the senator from California, versus the former Vice President Joe Biden? You think this is how things are? Do you think after this next 2 days that's what we're looking at?
Well, I think that's a pretty good prediction, actually, Tim. You know, as much as you can predict these kinds of things, I mean, you know that they will turn their own guns on each other. So no telling what will come out about each of them, you know, in the process. So you never know. You can't discount some kind of bombshell. But I think with things going the way they are, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will probably form a team, and that'll be our team.
Yeah, I would throw Elizabeth Warren and comb your hair with a balloon Bernie Sanders. I would throw the. I think those two. I think Mayor Pete seriously will continue to sink, and I think it'll be Biden and Harris probably a good bet. For
I think
the
Sanders
top two.
Sanders is over.
You think Bernie Sanders?
Yeah,
is over?
Yeah, he's over. He once you get your momentum and you reach a peak, and then you start going downhill. Even if you only go a few percentage points, you don't typically come back up. His moment to shine, as it were, I'm talking about Bernie Sanders, was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And he got ripped off, a lot of people think, by the Democrat National Committee and how they stacked those superdelegates against him. And so I just don't see him coming back. I think it's Biden and Kamala Harris. That would be a formidable ticket. Yeah. I don't know if she could get on board with him, because maybe she is more pragmatic than I think, but she tries to.
Oh, I think she would. I think she would jump at that.
Yeah,
because,
I do too.
Because she would be next in line to get the nomination.
Yeah, she's a very ambitious young lady, and she is not. You notice she's happy to change her position on issues.
Yes.
Whatever it takes to win. So she's very pragmatic.
She's back. Yeah. She's backpedaled since the last debate.
Yes.
And then Joe could prove he's not a racist.
Yeah,
and Kamala could prove that she's, I'm not sure, fill in the blank, normal. She's in the realm of, if Joe Biden is normal, then if she's hanging out with him, then she's normal too.
And Joe Biden is, he's going to be 76. If they were to win the White House, he might be looking at not running again. She could possibly get the nomination in 4 years.
Yeah.
I think she would absolutely go for that.
Oh, well, absolutely.
But what does that mean, though? Because you got Biden, an East Coaster. You got Kamala Harris, a West Coaster, lefty San Francisco. What does that do for everybody in the middle of this country? What does for Ohio, the must-have states, South Carolina, North Carolina?
Oh, I don't think – I'll just be honest, and then we'll let
then be
Sandy
dishonest.
Jump. Yeah, then I'll be dishonest. Okay. Let me be honest for the next couple of minutes here. I don't think it really matters who gets the Democratic nomination. This is going to be a close election like it was in 2016. You're going to have Democrats. The big question is going to be the Rust Belt, Ohio,
yeah,
Florida, those kind of things, who they go for. But for the most part, everyone's mind's kind of made up, and I don't think it matters who gets the Democratic nomination. The days of we got to balance the ticket between, you know, northerner and the southerner, you know, man and woman. I think it's all ideological.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyway, what do you think, Sandy? Feel free to disagree.
I guess a little subtlety here. I think, for change, I think that it would kind of matter, Ed, because if Bernie Sanders was the head of the ticket, or, Buttigieg is really liberal. He's really leftist. And so is Castro. And
you know, he's gay. You know that, right?
I had not heard that.
Buttigieg, yeah.
I listened to so much news, I don't know how I missed that. But no, I think if they were the top of the ticket, it would make it harder for the Democrats to pull off a closer race. And I think that Joe Biden gives the appearance of normalcy. I think he's really a crooked politician from way back.
If I'm a Biden supporter, though, I'm nervous. I'm nervous because I'm nervous he's going to go to sleep during a debate.
Yeah.
I'm nervous he's going to touch a female reporter inappropriately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm nervous that he's going to forget what he's talking about.
You think that's going to hurt him, though, against Trump? Trump's
yes,
got his
I
own
think it. No, I think it
categories.
Well,
of,
I agree with you. I agree with you, basically, Ed. That you could have the election today, pretty much, and people's minds are made up. And it's basically whether you support President Trump and what he's doing,
right,
or you can't stand the man.
Right.
And the country's probably about 50-50. So from that point, but I do think that there's probably 5-10% of the electorate who, you know, they like the economy, they like what Trump's done there, but what are the Democrats saying? What do they have to offer? Who's offering it? But I just think on a behavioral level, I'm just not so sure that. And it happens to everybody if you live long enough.
Right.
What we see happening to Joe Biden. And I'm not saying he's senile or anything like
that.
I'm just saying that he's just not as sharp as he used to be, and you can tell.
Yeah.
At least I can watching him. Hey, Sandy, one more thing. Get your thoughts on how the president's got into it with Elijah Cummings. I heard you talking about that this morning. You know, and I think you mentioned, Sandy, and we talked about earlier, the past Republican presidents or leaders, when the racism charge is levied against them, they cower and they start apologizing. They start saying, "What have I done to offend you? I'm so sorry." Well, President Trump, he didn't operate that way. And he showed it with this clash with Elijah Cummings. And as we've said before, President Trump is an equal opportunity fighter. He doesn't matter who you are, what color you are, if you're a man or woman, if you get into it with him, he's going to get into it back with you.
Right.
And so what do you think about this clash with Elijah Cummings?
Well, I appreciate it because I think that really, on behalf of my black friends with integrity, and there are many, I think they're sick of corrupt black leadership. Sick of it. And look at these congressmen. Look at John Conyers out of Michigan. Look at the corruption. Look at the woman in California who we see all the time, wants Trump impeached, whatever her name is. There was corruption. That no one ever investigates them. And being from Chicago, I can tell you Jesse Jackson is up to his ears in extorting companies for money, or he will come after them and accuse them of racism. That's what he's been doing for years. And reasonable, wise black people, of which there are millions in this country, understand that. And so he's speaking the truth about these race baiters. That have destroyed the black community and done their share to contribute
to it.
And
these once great cities that are deteriorating.
Yes. It's terrible. It's terrible what they did to Michigan, to Detroit. It's terrible what they've done. They're doing to Los Angeles in the
The Democrats have been solely in control of these big cities, right?
Yes, yes. And they have just, and they've enriched themselves. And you talk about the group of people in this country, if we must group people by some category, the black Americans have suffered more at the hands of leftist Democrats, and a lot of them are black, who are enriching themselves at the expense of their own people. And they know that, and the president's calling it out. And he's not doing it because he's black. He can call out the mayor of Portland. He could call out the mayor of Seattle about all of the garbage that's destroying their downtowns and the rats and the homeless people. And they happen to be white. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's a horrific thing that people, average citizens, are having to put up with these corrupt leaders. And he's pointing that out.
Yeah. One other story I wanted to ask you about. Did you see, you and I haven't talked about this prior to this moment, so you may not know too much about it, but did you see where this member of the squad from Minnesota, the Somali?
Omar.
What's her last name?
Ilhan Omar.
Did you see where she was making fun of Rand Paul?
Yes.
Senator Rand Paul, she was making fun of or retweeted something having to do with his neighbor who attacked him physically. Did you see that?
Yeah, I forgot the actor's name, but she tweeted his kind
Tom
of
Arnold.
Celebratory tweet about Rand Paul being beaten. And what, hurt.
Rand Paul said that, Senator Rand Paul said that Omar should go back or should go to her home. I don't know if he said go back, but go to her home country of Somalia and see how people live there.
He offered to buy her a ticket.
And then she would, then maybe she would appreciate the United States of America more. That was his point. And then she retweeted something making fun of the fact that he was physically attacked. Remember how his ribs were broken and stuff?
Nearly, honestly, punctured his lungs. I mean, that was a very serious attack.
You think
that never got the publication or the publicity it should have had.
You think Democrats are worried? I think they're probably worried. Talking about the average Democrat in Congress, for example, about these four women called the squad. They could really do some damage, couldn't they, to the Democrat Party?
Well, I think they already have, and yes, yeah. I do. Answer is yes. I think the Democrats are worried about them. Thus, we hear all these warnings to, you know, back it off. Right. Don't be as far to the left. The BET guy saying they've gone too far.
Right.
Absolutely. They've done tremendous damage. The thing of it is, though, Tim, I was just thinking as we watched the Mueller hearings last week, and I realized that most Americans had not heard the full story of the plot, really, to take down Donald Trump. Most Americans have no knowledge of that, Tim. And the proof of that is David Gergen, who's on CNN, said over the weekend, or maybe right afterwards, he said, you know, well, the Republicans did bring up things we never talk about here at CNN.
I heard that.
Yeah. So you talk about the nation being split. You got half of them either paying no attention or watching CNN, MSNBC, or the networks, and they don't know anything. They don't listen to AFR Talk. They don't listen to Fox. They do not know any of the horrendous information that we know. And so they, based on that, they're told every day that they should make fun of Trump, that they should hate him. And by the way, could I interject in this conversation? I don't know if you heard the clip I played this morning of Dan Coats, the current National Intelligence Director, Director of National Intelligence, former congressman from Indiana, mocking President Trump with Andrea Mitchell at a conference out in Colorado, mocking him. Dan has really countered the president on so many things. He used to be a reliable conservative. I can't remember how long ago, but I know at one time he was. But since he's been in, he's done nothing but obstruct the president. And so that's why people don't have any idea, really, what the president has been dealing with. And could I just say that John Ratcliffe being appointed to that position is just the fact that James Comey and James Clapper and John Brennan are up in arms about this is really, really a great sign.
Thanks, Sandy. Appreciate it very much. And,
you're welcome.
I look forward to your show tomorrow. Take care.
Okay, you too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Sandy Rios, who joined us right there. So,
host of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that all those that she named, Clapper and Brennan and who else did you say, Comey maybe? Mm-hmm. I didn't realize they were up in arms over Ratcliffe. I know that he, you know, considered controversial to some in the Senate, but I guess if those guys are in opposition to his nomination, maybe it is a good sign.
Yep.
Dan Coats, was he from Indiana?
Yes. Okay. He was former senator.
Yeah.
Former senator from Indiana. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. All right, Fred, what else you got?
Well, anybody who's been listening to American Family Radio talk news and familiar with the stories about Christian values under attack. I'm talking about the Baronelle Stutzman story.
Right.
You know, the bakers and the artists who are under attack. And what these jurisdictions are using is their non-discrimination laws.
Yes.
In the Baronelle Stutzman case, you know, wouldn't give flowers for a homosexual wedding. And the state has come after her using their non-discrimination laws.
Yeah.
But it has usually had to do with sexual orientation, et cetera, et cetera. There's a brand new front that I wasn't aware of until this morning. And this story is the Dateline is out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And apparently there is an organization there, a business called Think Right Strategies. And they're basically a political consulting firm. And what they do is fight causes from a conservative point of view. Well, they're under attack by the city of Ann Arbor, Michigan, and that city has a non-discrimination policy, and adding to sexual orientation, etc., now is political beliefs. And basically what their ordinance says is that this political consulting firm, Think Right Strategies, they're ready to put them out of business if they don't start promoting liberal political points of view. And they could be fined up to $500 a day unless they start taking business from leftists and start promoting leftist causes. Now, this is a This is a, like I say, a political consulting firm being ordered by the city using their non-discrimination law to do business with leftists. And yeah, fortunately, Alliance Defending Freedom went to court yesterday, and they're suing the city over this. Whatever happened to First Amendment rights? Freedom of expression, freedom to do business according to the values that you have. But like I said, we're familiar now with the Christian bakers and the Christian florists and the photographers, but this is a brand new one.
Yeah, this is the first I've heard of this kind of thing. Clearly unconstitutional, as you cited, for First Amendment, on First Amendment grounds. Now, Ann Arbor is, I'm guessing, probably a liberal city. It's home of University of Michigan. So college towns are oftentimes very liberal politically. So I am not surprised that they're pushing this, but this is a ludicrous application of a non-discrimination, clearly illegal. I mean, let's put it this way. If this was actually the intent to try to make things quote unquote fair, again, it's clearly unconstitutional on its face, but are they going to order the University of Michigan to even up the faculty on campus? You've got to have equal number of conservatives like you do liberals. No, I don't think that's ever going to happen. They're using, as most of these communities do, they're using their non-discrimination policy to go after conservatives and or Christians. That's what these laws are meant to do. And here we see, for the first time I've ever heard of it, going after political belief. They are going to lose this, Ann Arbor is, I would guess, rapidly.
But it also speaks to a mentality, and I think you're alluding to this, that a city believes it can force a private company to promote views, or the city believes it has that right.
Right.
To force you to promote views. Like the ADF press release says, these are two young Christian men that are running this organization. And this, the city believes it has the right to force them to promote things like abortion and socialism.
Yeah, it's clearly unconstitutional. To your point, they would not go after, let's say, the Freedom From Religion Foundation was located, headquartered in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
Are they going to force them to support equally not only their atheistic endeavors, but Christian endeavors? No, they're not going to go after a leftist group. They're only going to go after a conservative group.
But here's the scary part. This is a city. This isn't an individual. This is a city that believes it has the right to force political views on people.
Right.
By law, by force of law. I mean, this is what happens in Russia. This is what happens in third world countries. But this is Ann Arbor, Michigan, the United States of America.
This is the new left. This is why people like who are real liberals, like Alan Dershowitz, for example, the Harvard law professor. That's why they're so nervous about the direction of the left in this country, because they have no problem with that. They have no problem with Antifa beating up journalists simply because they don't toe the line.
No, 100%. These people who think like that view our worldview, that is Christians and conservatives, as illegitimate. Not even worthy of a discussion or a debate. They deserve, they're talking about us, to be shut down.
Punished.
Right, because they are Nazis.
Right.
So that's the mentality of these folks. Well, we'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.